I really appreciate it. I know the Lord appreciates it. I stand there at the door as people are coming in, you know, help people come in the door and so forth. But more than anything else, I just want to see who's going to show up. Thank you for being one of those people. I want to talk to you about a passage tonight in Matthew chapter 19, story of the rich young ruler. Wouldn't it be great to be young and rich and a ruler? Man, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I got none of those things. I don't hit any of those buttons. But here's a story that's recorded in the gospel for our benefit. Clearly it is. Everything that's in the Bible is recorded for our benefit. Some of them for a more immediate effect and has some later application. But clearly this story here, it wasn't written for the rich young ruler. It wasn't written for Jesus. It wasn't written for his immediate disciples because they were there. This story is recorded in the three synoptic gospels long after probably the fellow was probably even gone. But it was written for us to make a point about discipleship and about the commitment that we have to make as being disciples of Jesus. Let's read the story and then I'll make some points. Matthew 19, verse 16 says, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?'" Well, that's the money question right there. That's the one any preacher wants to hear. Somebody comes up to you and says, "What do I got to do to be saved?" I've got just the answer for you. That's exactly what I want to talk to you about. 90% of the battle is to get people to even have this question in their mind, in their heart. And here this man just shows up and asks Jesus a question. What do I have to do? Jesus first says to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? And there's only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Now, that first part of that, I think, is Jesus' way of making a point. About who he is, and about asking ourselves why we're asking Jesus. And the right answer, of course, is we're asking Jesus because he is. He is the one who is good. He's got the answer. He can tell us how to obtain eternal life. He has eternal life. He gives eternal life. He can answer this question. So it's prompting us to think about it. But then he answers the man's question. He says, "Keep the commandments." That's a pretty straightforward answer. And again, this wasn't written for the Jews. It wasn't written for the young man. It was written for us. And I think that's still the answer. I think there's still a sense in which the answer to that question, we say, "Oh, you got to believe in Jesus, you got to repent, you got to be baptized," and all that's true. But keeping the commandments is still a perfectly good answer to that question. Obey God. Follow God. Respect God, fear God, revere Him, worship Him. In this young man's case, under the old law, and they were still under the old law, that's what he should do, is keep the commandments of the law of Moses. For us, it's keep the commandments of Christ. But it's still relevant, it's still important. But then things get interesting. The young man says to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness." So the young man, he wants specifics. He says, the commandments. Well, there's a lot of commandments, you know. Can you tell me specifically what you're talking about? And Jesus doesn't mean just these. But Jesus is saying, what commandments? What type of commandments? Whose commandments are we talking about? God's commandments. These are the things that God requires. And, you know, they're not any different for him than they are for us. So all of these things are still things we got to do too. And the young man says something remarkable. He says, you know, well, Jesus, honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man says, well, I've done all these things. I've done all of these things. I am doing all of these things. What am I still lacking? Wow, what a question. What am I still lacking? You always need to be careful about asking somebody what they think is wrong with you, because they're probably going to answer the question. And that's what this man does. He says, what am I lacking? What's wrong with me? Do I still have a problem? It's really a remarkable question, as we'll talk about in a moment. But Jesus answers the question. He says, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. All right. You've asked. I'm going to tell you. You do have a problem. You are lacking in some way. If you want to be complete, perfect, it says in some translations, but the idea is to go all the way, you know. I mean, you've got most of it covered, but here's something that you do have a problem, a shortcoming, a failure. And it has to do with your attitude about your possessions. And if you want to fill up that lacking thing, go sell your possessions, give them to the poor. And then, of course, the most important thing of all, come follow me, because that's the main thing of all the things that Jesus has said. Come follow me. And in that particular instance, in that day and time, at that point in Jesus' ministry and what he was trying to do, the only way to come follow him is to pretty much leave your old life behind, come follow him. It's a little different for us, and I'll talk about that later, but for this fellow, that's exactly what he needed to do. He needed to be one of the disciples who was following Jesus. And all those other fellows, they weren't rich, but they had stuff. They had farms, they had a fishing business, et cetera, et cetera. And they'd left those things behind, and they were following Jesus. That's what this guy needed to do, but he wasn't willing to do that, of course. That's the tragedy of this story. When the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. I suppose if he hadn't had so much, it wouldn't have been so hard, because that's the way we think. The worldly way we have of thinking is that if we only have a little, then it really doesn't matter. But if we got a lot, then it's more difficult. Why? Why is it difficult? Because nothing we have, whether it be little or a lot in this life, is really worth anything, and we're not going to keep it. But that's the way we think. We think in a worldly way. We think, I've got a lot to lose here. He didn't have anything to lose. What he had to lose was his soul, and he lost that, apparently. So he declined. He declined to do the thing. He asked Jesus what he should do. Jesus told him what to do, and he declined to do it. Now, as I said before, this text is in here for us. It's in there for us. It's not in there for him. It's not in there for the immediate disciples. It's in there for Christians. And there's clearly a lesson that we're intended to learn from this story about discipleship. So let's think about it for a few moments. And the first thing that I'd point out about this is that this was a good man. By anybody's estimation, even by Jesus' estimation, this was a good man. We read in Mark, in the Mark's account of this, that when this man answered Jesus' question about keeping the laws, it says Jesus loved him. Now you get Jesus to say that about you. He's a good man. He was a young man and spiritual. How many young people do you know that have interest in answering questions like this? I have the good fortune of knowing some in this congregation. And I admire those young people who are of a spiritual bent of mind, who ask spiritual questions, who want to know. But there are not many of them in this world. Not nearly enough. Here's one that was. He was spiritual. He wanted to know. He wanted to know about eternal life. And he was rich, and yet he was thinking about his soul. How many rich people do you know that give a lot of thought to their souls? To be young and to be rich, more often than not, is to be a fool. But this young man was no fool. Furthermore, he consistently obeyed the law in that. I mean, those laws are nothing to sneeze at. Honor your father and mother. Here's a rich young man, a ruler nonetheless. He's got authority, he's got wealth, he's got youth, and he honors his father and his mother. That's pretty remarkable. Didn't take advantage of his position of authority or power to take advantage of other people. He didn't do that. Clearly interested in spiritual things, a worshiper of God. Good man. Humble. How many rich people were coming to Jesus and asking his advice about things? Humble man. And wise enough to know that he might be lacking something. You know, most people don't have that kind of wisdom. Most people are self-satisfied. Hey, I got this figured out. I'm okay. I mean, look at me. I'm successful. People look up to me. I'm a leader in the community. I'm obeying all of these rules. I'm a religious man. Hey, I've got it going on. Most people would think that way. This young man had the good sense to know, or to suspect, or to even out of curiosity. Maybe he had heard Jesus speak, and he was intrigued by Jesus' teaching because it was different, unique. You know, all the things that he was doing were the things that he had been told by the other rabbis. But here Jesus didn't follow the line all the other rabbis followed. And so maybe there's something more that Jesus knows that these other guys don't know. And for that reason, it implies a lot, really, that he had been listening, that he was curious. Remarkable young man. He was zealous to do more. I mean, why ask? Why ask if there's something that I need to do? If you don't have any intention of doing it at all, clearly there would have been some things or something this young man would have been willing to do. Maybe if Jesus had said, sell half of your possessions or a quarter of your possessions, he might have done that. Maybe if he'd said, you know, go take care of this task or do this deed. He was willing to do more. How many people do you know that's like this? Think about yourself. Can I say that I'm that good? Can I honestly say that I'm that good? Can you say that you're that good? Well, I would like to think that I am. And I guess I could say that I keep the commandments. Strive to keep the commandments, mostly successful in keeping the commandments. But where this young man has it over me, perhaps, and over you, is that humility and that willingness to go further and to say, okay, I've done all of this, but maybe there's something more that I can do. And if he lacks something, any one of us might. And that's exactly what this story is about. This story is about opening your mind to the possibility that you're lacking in some way. That's what it's about. And this young man had that willingness, that depth and strength of character and humility to come to the Lord and say, "Teach me, show me." It's a remarkable quality. He asked what he lacked. And we should think about that too. You know, I guess preachers are guilty of this, of always stressing shortcomings. I don't mean to do that. I try to commend you and to encourage you and give you a sense of your own salvation. But when it comes to teaching, why do we do it except that we know that we need to know more, that we need to do better, and we want to do better? I mean, that's the point. It's a life of progression. It's a life of trying to stretch ourselves and to be even greater and better servants of God. And it's not just about maintaining. It can't ever be just about maintaining. And I think that's what this story's about. Being complete. Going further. We should ask such questions. Religious questions about shortcomings. Most people don't. Most religious people don't. It's simply a matter of human character or common practice. You set out there some teaching and you do some percentage of it, half of it, three quarters of it, maybe 90% of it, and you call it good. And most religious groups, most religious people, that's exactly what they do. They do whatever amount that they're prepared or willing to do, and they call it good. And in most denominations, most congregations, that's exactly what they'll do. They'll say, "You're good." And you may not frequent the worship assembly, but once every blue moon or once a year or maybe not once in 20 years, and they'll preach your funeral and they'll say, "He's good." But that's not what this story's about. It's about lacking things. Most religious people do not pursue lacking things. Most would find the young ruler here to be perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with this guy. This guy would be welcome in any congregation. He would be commended. He would be held up as a model for good behavior. But he had a problem. And the Lord brought it to his attention. And he didn't do anything about it. And that's the kind of thing that we need this story to remind us of. We got to listen to Jesus. And we got to keep listening to Jesus. Because it's his opinion that matters. It's not what the church says about you. It's not what your neighbors say about you, or your family says about you, or even what you say about yourself. Those things don't matter. Our opinion does not matter in the end. It is the opinion of our Lord. That's what this story is about. It's about a guy who says, "You know, I'm doing everything everybody else tells me to do. I want to know, Jesus, what you think about me." And that's exactly what we've got to do. That's exactly the same attitude that we have to have. It's not what the preacher says about you. It's what Jesus says about you. And, you know, when it comes to something like this, I would never put anything like that on anybody. But the Lord put it on this guy. And that's what the Lord will do. He'll set us straight. Jesus is not going to lie to you. He's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to paper mache over faults and flaws and problems you have in your life. He is always, always going to encourage and push and press you. His parables do that. His teaching does that. His example in dying on the cross does that. I mean, how can you get more powerful than the example of Jesus Christ? And it's never about perfection. It's not about being perfect, but it is about being complete. And what that means is looking for those lacking things and working on them. And we got to listen. We have to listen to Jesus. That's the problem this young man had, was that he went to Jesus and asked the question and was willing to listen, but then he balked. He balked. But Jesus will definitely always, if you listen to Jesus honestly in your heart, he will always push you in those areas where you know in your own conscience you're lacking. He'll always do that. He does that for me. But this young man balked at the answer. He was lacking in some area, and as I said, perfect means complete. It doesn't mean without flaw. It means there's an area that needs work. And there was an area that needed work in this man's life. And for him, he was too attached to his stuff. And it's obvious that Jesus does not ask all of his followers to sell all of their possessions, give to the poor, and come follow him. That is not something the Lord lays on all of us. It's not in the teaching of the New Testament and the epistles. There were lots of people in the church, had lots of property and possessions. They could, as they voluntarily wished, on occasion, donate some of their wealth, maybe even sell some of their possessions, but nobody was asked to sell everything they had. Even the apostles had the right to support, they had a right to have a family and be supported in maintaining that family. So why was Jesus so hard on this guy? Why did Jesus ask something exceptional of this guy? That's because that's where his problem was. If you go into a doctor's office, make an appointment, you go in there, the doctor is going to ask you, what is your complaint? What is your problem? And if you tell him, well, I've got this symptom or I've got this problem, he is going to focus in on that problem. Or even if it's a general exam and you don't have any complaints or any, you're not feeling bad at all, just go in for a checkup. He's going to look you over, and as soon as he sees a problem, that is what he's going to focus on. And I sometimes go to a chiropractor. You know, they'll do this thing where they scan your back, and they'll find the point. You don't have to tell them. They'll find the point where you got the problem. Said, "Oh, you got a problem right here." Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. That is where the problem is. That's what Jesus did. He focused right on this guy's problem. He was too attached to his stuff, and that's exactly why he laid that on him. He said, here's what you need to do. Here's what you're lacking in. Here is the area where you need help. You're too attached to your stuff. What we all have to ask ourselves is, what am I too attached to? What is pulling me away from the Lord? Where do I have a shortcoming? It may be, I'm not studying enough, and I'm not growing enough. I need to do that more. I need to be reading my Bible more, and I need to be learning more, because I'm not doing it. It could be my attendance to worship service. It could be my prayer life. I'm just not praying like I ought to pray. And if I ask the Lord, where am I lacking? And he might say that. I said, you really need to pray more. It could be my failure to treat my family member the way that I ought to. My wife, or if your husband, or your children, or your parents, somebody in your life, you're not treating them right. That's your failing. That's where you're falling down. And the Lord would say, look, you, here's where you're lacking. If we're honest, we can all do better. We can all do more. And that's exactly what this story is about. It's about asking the Lord, Lord, help me to figure out what I need to work on and work on it. Because total commitment is required of all disciples. You may not be required to sell all your possessions to give the poor, but we do give our whole life to the Lord. And what that means is that at any point, if there is something that the Lord asks of us, we have to, at that point, be like the rich young ruler or the other disciples and put down whatever we're doing and do what the Lord's asking us to do. And a lot of it is completely voluntary. It's, I see an opportunity to do something, and I look around and nobody else is doing it, and I have the capability of doing it. So I need to ask myself, what would the Lord tell me to do in this instance? What did he tell this guy? Step up. Total commitment is required of all disciples. And that means we're going to face hard choices. There are going to be times when it's pretty clear that the Lord wants us to do something that we don't want to do. I don't want to make peace with that person, or I don't want to dedicate more of my time to the service of God. I like my life the way it is. I'm perfectly comfortable the way that I am. I'm already doing X amount. Well, it is difficult. It was hard for this young man, and he made the wrong choice. We need to make the right one. We need to think about lacking things and be willing to do what we need to do to make up for those lacking things. In conclusion, we have to consider what we're lacking. And let me tell you, whether from the study of God's Word or just something that happens in your life and gets put in front of you, Jesus is going to tell you if you'll listen. And then you'll have a choice to make. Now, tonight, the Lord does not ask you to sell all your possessions, give the poor. I don't know, maybe he does. I don't know. And even if he did, if that's what you needed to do in order to have eternal life, wouldn't it be worth it? Absolutely. But as a preacher of God's Word, I can't tell you that Jesus is telling you to sell all your possessions, give the poor. What I can do is tell you what Jesus says to all of us in his Word. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. And that means changing your life, and your behavior. You need to repent and stop sinning, and you need to get in the church, and you need to learn the gospel, and you need to share the life of Jesus Christ, and that's what you need to do. And that's where you're lacking. And if you know that, and you know you're lacking in that area, that's what Jesus is asking you to do tonight. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If you are a Christian and you know that there is a failing in your life and you need to correct that, then correct it. Do it. Because as good of a person as you may be, you're not any better than this guy. Make up for what's lacking. And the Lord will take care of you. If you need to do that, come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.